Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and what a wonderful reminder from our friends, the Webbs, that our God is faithful. He is faithful in all things, and I'm so thankful for that today. I appreciate you joining us today as we are continuing the sermon preached by my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, on When God Laughs. What a sobering message it is, And I trust that it will challenge your heart. And if there is someone listening today that does not know Jesus, I pray that this will be the day when you turn your heart and life over to Him. I do covet your prayers as I am involved in revival services this weekend, September the 22nd through the 24th at the First Southern Baptist Church in Sunman, Indiana. And then next Sunday, October the 1st, I'm going to be in revival services at Joyce Presbyterian Church, their homecoming revival. We'll have homecoming on October the 1st in revival services, October 1, 2, and 3, and then go right to Sandy Ridge, North Carolina, to Sandy Ridge Presbyterian Church with my good friend Reverend Boyd Joyce there on October 4th and 5th, and then over to Gold Hill, North Carolina, October 6, 7, and 8 at the Wesleyan Church in Gold Hill, North Carolina. So I do covet your prayers as I am involved in these revival services. Heavenly Father, I want to give you thanks today for your faithfulness. Thank you that no matter what we may face, our God is there with us. I pray for those who might be going through a difficult time right now, those who've lost loved ones, those who are going through medical issues. I think of my good friend, Mr. Jib Hudson, one of the program directors and owners of one of our radio stations where we're on each Sunday morning. I pray for Jim today. I pray for others out listening to my voice that have special needs. You know what they are. Meet those needs, I pray, Father. We'll give you all the praise and the thanks. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this is kind of an unusual month as we will end the month of September on the 30th and begin the month of October on the 1st. So that's a kind of five Sunday weekend. So we need your help so we can help pay the cost for the radio time. Write to us, would you please? The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give there.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind man.
Reveal those things or think of those things. There's never been a day in your heart, dear man, kind lady, that you never needed to face up to reality any more than you needed tonight. Brother, sister, you hear me? I promise God in my room this afternoon that if he showed me truth that I had not seen before, a new light came to my pathway that I had not seen before, that this would be the first person that would find their way to a place of prayer, because I don't intend to miss it. And brother, one of these days, he's coming suddenly, and this time is going to run out for us. And if we ever need to be honest with ourselves and God, we need it now. I'll never forget the first time that I began my radio ministry in North Carolina. I was on a little station in High Point, and the manager said to me one day, he said, "Mr. Loman, would you like to make a record of one of your sermons?" I said, "I certainly would." He set me down in a studio before a piece of steel mechanism called a microphone, and in the other room was a turntable. He said, "I'll give you the signal when to begin." He gave me the signal, told me I'd have 12 minutes, and he'd give me proper time and proper signs to know when to close my message. And I began my message and preached for about 11 and a half minutes, and he gave me the signal that I had 30 seconds to close that message. I finished the message, but while I was preaching, I noticed on that turntable there was a disc and there was a needle, and that needle was cutting a groove into that record, and those shavings were being pushed to one side. And when I was through, he said, "Would you like to hear it?" I said, "Certainly I would." And I sat there and listened to that record. Beloved ladies and gentlemen, the beads of perspiration popped out on my brow and rolled down across my face. And I didn't hear too much about the message that I had just preached and put on that record. But the thing that I was disturbed about was the fact that if man could invent a machine and invent a piece of mechanism that you could speak through and take down every word you'd said, and brother, all the emphasis was there, and you could almost hear the breathing between words, that if God could do that, what kind of a record do you suppose the God that sits on the throne in the skies is keeping of your life and mine? And brother, sister, hear me tonight. If we ever needed to listen to the reproof of God's word and do something about it, we need it now, because God's going to be the judge and we're going to face up to it in eternity. My friends, tonight, hear me. It teaches us in this passage how God's word and how that he had called them. He said, "I called you, but you refused. I stretched out my hand, but no man regarded." He tells us that "I poured out my spirit unto you." I've sat here on this platform. This is the third year that's been my privilege to be one of the preachers in this camp meeting. I have sat here time after time, listened to other men preach, and I've done my best to have the message of God. And I've seen the Spirit of the Lord poured out upon the people in this great tabernacle. I've seen people stand back under conviction and wipe tears from their eyes. Brother, sister, their pride would absolutely wouldn't let them break away and find their way to a place of prayer and get the thing settled. The reason some of them didn't do it was because they were afraid of public opinion. They were fearful of what other folks would say about them. They were fearful of what somebody might go back home and tell the folks at home that they saw. "Well, Mr. So-and-so or Sister So-and-so went to the altar in Lakeland camp meeting. Wonder why she went." Ladies and gentlemen, it's not for you and I to decide why they went. I thank God there's some people that will obey the voice of the Spirit when the Spirit moves upon them, and when the Spirit is poured out upon them, that they have the courage to step out and be a man or woman for God and let God do for them what needs to be done. "Turn you at my reproof. I poured out my spirit unto you." Ladies and gentlemen, when God Almighty honors you with the fact that He's willing one more time to allow the blessed third person of the Trinity to come to your heart and deal with you about a deficiency that's in your soul, you ought to be so appreciative of that fact that God Almighty hasn't withdrawn Himself from you that you'd run to the place of prayer. And thank Him that He did one more time deal with your heart. I poured out my spirit unto you. Listen, beloved, it's a mighty easy thing to push it aside. Mighty easy thing to ignore it. Mighty easy thing to say no. But it's dangerous to do that. I remember some years ago in the Brown's Chapel Pilgrim Church, Gibsonville, North Carolina, I was preaching one Friday night. Brought my message, and I never go back and speak to anybody in the congregation unless the Spirit leads me. That night several hands had been lifted for prayer. I walked down that aisle and was speaking to various ones that the Spirit led me to speak to. Young man standing on the at the very back seat. He had his head down and the Spirit said, speak to him. And I walked back and spoke to him. I said, son, you're a Christian. No, sir. You want to be? Not tonight. I said, I felt led to speak to you. And I'd love to pray with you. He said, I'd appreciate it if you'd leave me alone. And I could tell that God had moved upon that boy. He was standing there, beloved, and literally trembling. I don't argue with anybody. I turned and walked away from that young man and walked back to the platform. I had no more than reached the platform until God spoke as clear to me. And I don't have the gift of discernment. I know what it is when the Holy Ghost speaks. God spoke to me and said, go tell him it's tonight or never. Tonight or never. I walked down that aisle. I took hold of every pew. I hoped the Holy Ghost would check me and not insist that I carry that message of destiny. But the closer I came to that young man, the more courage God seemed to give me. And I walked up to him. I said, young man, I've never had this to happen before. I hope it never happens again as long as I live. But God wants me to tell you that this is your night. It's tonight or never for you. He said, you think you're smart, don't you? I said, no, sir, I do not. I'm only telling you what God wants me to tell you. He said, will you leave me alone? I'm not afraid of what you preach tonight. And I turned and walked away, brother, but I not only left him alone, but God left him alone. I poured out my spirit unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't ignore the demands of the truth and the wooings of the Holy Ghost very long and get by with it. I closed that meeting on Sunday night. Went to my next meeting the next week. On Friday night, came back into the city, past one of the local mortuaries where I'd been associated with for some time, and I saw the ambulance out, state patrol car there. I stopped thinking possibly that something tragic had taken place. Walked into the morgue, an unidentified body lying on the slab. They were holding an inquest. Went on home the next morning to my broadcast. My wife said, they call and want you to assist them this afternoon. I went into the mortuary, and the boss said, Harold, you drive the funeral coach. And I drove that funeral coach, followed the lead car right down by where I used to live in Greensboro, North Carolina, right down toward Brown's Chapel Pilgrim Church, pulled into the yard and stopped the motor on that funeral coach, stepped out, and the mother standing on the porch when she saw me, she screamed, I'll never forget it. She said, my God, preacher Loman, that's my boy that you've got out there. I went to that porch and I said, what do you mean, lady? She said, brother Loman, didn't you know? I said, know what? She said, that boy in that casket is the same boy that laughed at you last Friday night at Brown's Chapel Church. And she said, a tire blew out on his car last night, turned over, and he never gained consciousness, and my boy's gone to hell. Listen, friend, I stood there with cold chills running down my spine, and I thought of that verse in Proverbs 29:1, where he said, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'll guarantee you, out there in the black nights of hell, in the regions of the damned, in the burning embers of the of those beloved, that are in despair and that are tormented day and night forever, that young man would give three worlds like this to have the Holy Ghost speak to him one more time. I poured out my spirit unto you. I made known my words unto you. I preached A week ago, tomorrow night, in the great Free Methodist Church of Spring Arbor, Michigan, I referred, beloved, to that passage of Scripture, how that God Almighty had been faithful to reveal His Word to men when He spoke to Job about some of the mysterious questions that He propounded to him. Job was so stirred by them until Job said, "What shall I do then when God riseth up and when He visiteth me? What shall I answer Him?" Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a man or a woman that's in the confines of this tabernacle tonight, regardless of where you came from, the circumstances surrounding your life, the church you belong to, the environs that you're brought up in, how you are looked upon in the material world out there in the social realm. Brother, sister, every one of you will have had to accept the truth of God and the Word as it's poured out unto you and revealed unto you, and pattern your life after this old-fashioned book and make your way to Calvary, or you'll never make it. Substitutionary methods won't be enough then. This book, beloved, will be the pattern that you'll be judged by. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me tonight. He said, "I poured out my words unto you." I was preaching in Burlington, North Carolina, some years ago in the war years, doing my own preaching and revival. Young lady, a member of the Sunday school, came to me. You hear me tonight? This is not existent only in North Carolina. Brother, you've got it among people that go from one camp meeting to the other. They like to be identified. Brother, sister, they don't want to pay the price for a personal experience. Jesus Christ comes tonight. He's not going to take this crowd just because they're among a collective group, beloved, that believe in camp meetings and that go to camp meetings and make it convenient to go to Florida in the winter time to attend camp meeting. Brother, listen, you're not going to go in the rapture because you're attending Lakeland camp meeting. Brother, the only way you'll make it if He comes tonight is that the Word of God been applied to your soul and you quit the sin business and you're going with God. This young lady walked up to me and she said, "Mr. Loman, I plan to come to this meeting till you preach on death, hell, the judgment of the second coming. When you preach on either one of those truths, I won't be back." I say this with all the love that's in my heart. I'm preaching to some folks tonight that don't like to hear a preacher preach on hell or the judgment or the second coming. And the reason you don't is because deep down inside there are those ingredients of carnality that condemn your soul and keep you from knowing the blessings of full salvation in your life. Listen, friend, I believe the man or the woman that's accepted their proof of the gospel and listened to the voice of the Spirit and accepted the Word of God in all of its fullness, I believe that any preacher could preach on death, hell, the judgment, or the second coming, and it wouldn't disturb you one bit whatsoever, because there's a serenity in the soul that makes you know you've got things settled, and you've said goodbye to sin and everything that's unlike Jesus Christ, and settled the thing to go with God. Amen. I poured out my Spirit unto you. I made known my words unto you. He said, "I called you by a definite call." Verse 24, He said, "I called you." Listen, friend, this is not Brother Loman tonight. You think about it. The great omnipotent God of the universe looks down at a little insignificant, finite human being, unworthy like you and I are. He said, "I called you. I'm calling you. But you refuse me. I even stretched out my hand. I wanted to let you have my hand that could lift you out of the muck and mire of sin. But you refuse me. You push me aside. The book says no man regard it." I could understand why you turned me down. I could understand why you might evade Brother Dorsey or Brother Flexen. But ladies and gentlemen, for the life of me, I can understand how you would ignore the loving, everlasting arms of a blessed Lord that stretched out to help you get out of the gutter tonight. A definite call. It wasn't by proxy. He didn't send it by someone else. He said, I called. The God that threw into existence this universe, put the Queen of Night into her orbit, set the stars to dancing in the heavenlies, set the furnace of the sun on fire, scooped out the valleys and upreared the mountains and said, thus far the ocean waves shall all come. And no further, he's the one that said, I call. But you turned me down. You pushed me aside. Listen, beloved, a definite call. By fatherly counsel, listen, beloved. I reasoned with you. Some people say this is an unreasonable way. No, it isn't, because he said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And you may feel the way of holiness is unreasonable. But ladies and gentlemen, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.